Hello and welcome to the Veeam Community Podcast. I'm your host, Rick Vanover. This is episode 65, 10 gig Ethernet for your lab on the cheap. Here we go. Today my guest is Femi Adegoke. How you doing, Femi?
I'm fine, Rick. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for coming back on the podcast. If everybody doesn't remember, Femi was on helping us talk about Hyper-V networking, which was a great opportunity for me to learn a little bit more about it. Femi, since you've been on last, what's been going on? What's up?
Well, Rick, we're trying to figure out how to solve all the world problems, and always, looking for some new toys for the lab, for the ever-growing lab. So that's kind of what I've been up to.
You know, the lab is so important, right? You need an environment where you can fully deliver everything, like you would in production. And, too many times I end up in my lab with, hand-me-down stuff, old stuff. When we were talking last week, I had a chance to hang out with you for a bit. And you gave me the secret to your really cool trick on networking for the lab. So too many times I just, use a flat 1 gigabyte network or gigabit network. But you, Femi, have found the keys to the kingdom and created a 10 gig network for the lab, without breaking the bank. So, tell us how you came about finding this really value-priced way of delivering 10 gig in the lab.
Well, Rick, as you know, what do they say? They say speed kills, right? And we're always looking for, more speed. But unfortunately, I don't know about you, Rick, but I don't have that six-figure budget, so can't just go out and just buy all the, all the latest and greatest stuff. So so we're always looking for ways to, hopefully end up with some great speed and saving a few dollars at the same time. Mm-hmm. So I thought, it'd be great to have 10 gig in the lab. Obviously jumped out there real quick, looked at some of the prices of switches, NIC cards, and as you know, Rick, 10 gig is not yet 1 gig as far as pricing.
Now, when you say that, though, it's like you can't just go buy, an unmanaged 10 gig switch, right? They're all, full-featured, right? There is no commodity 10 gig. Am I right about that?
That is correct. Everything is all, they're either called managed or the one that I see a lot is data center. They call it a data center switch. And that usually means dollar signs, when you hear that data center switch. All fantastic gear. But, a little bit out of the price range of the common folk like me and you, So, So the goal was how can we get some speed without breaking the bank? And obviously do 10 gig. So I started looking around, and I don't know if eBay is a sponsor of this podcast, but I guess we can plug them a little bit here.
They're more than welcome to become a sponsor.
So I went on eBay, and for all the folks that are listening, this is the one time where I can say that eBay came in real handy. It took some patience, but basically the base of this whole project was the ever popular Dell 6224 or 6248, and always on eBay, those switches, they're always there, they come and go, but sometimes if your timing is right, you can pick them up, for $300-$400 for these switches. Mm-hmm. And they're gigabit switches, 24 or 48 port, but the beauty about this switch is on the back side, they're labeled as, two uplink modules, and each module has two ports, so you get a total of four ports. And the one on the left, if you're looking at the switch from the back, is labeled uplink. The one on the right is labeled as a 10 gig. It can be actually an uplink or a 10 gig module. Now Dell has since released some firmware where you can interchange and buy either one of those modules, and use an uplink as a 10 gig or an uplink as a stack. Okay? So what I did is I bought 6 of these switches and I stacked them. Now with this Dell architecture, you can stack up to 12 of these switches. So I used half of the modules for stacking and then I used the other half as 10 gig. Now these are, we should say, these are CX4 modules. But that's the beauty of it again, is that CX4 NIC cards, 10 gig CX4 NIC cards, again, they appear on eBay a lot for $200-$300 for a dual port 10 gig CX4 card.
Right.
So
yes.
That,
so if you're crafting this up, right, you have to think switch and interface and possibly some interface conversion along the way, right? So when you're looking for the value, you first start with the switch and then the interface, is that right?
Correct. But the beauty about this solution is it can double up as your switch. You know, so you, on the front side, of course, you have your typical RJ45s. You know, you stick your Cat5s in there, you know, for your Gig E. And then on the back side becomes, you know, you VLAN that off if you want, and that can become kind of your storage network, 10 gig.
And then you also still have the front ports for regular, you know, Cat5 1 gig, is that right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Cool.
But in this case, you know, we end up wasting a bunch of those ports, but that's okay because what we're really trying to get is a 10 gig that's on the backside.
Uh-huh. So okay, so then when you do that, right, you get, if I'm following you right, you get 2 usable 10 gig ports per switch?
Per switch, correct, Rick.
So in the unit cost, if you can find it, right, in that couple $100, that, you know, is way better than what you'll find in a new purchase. Is that right? I mean, did you do a per-cost port comparison?
Yes, because I looked at, like, if you go and look at either the NIC cards, 10-gig NIC cards that are either running SFT modules or RJ45, you know, and then you can use like Cat 6A or Cat 7 or whatever cable you'd like to use, or optical on the SFP side. Those NIC cards are typically, I mean, they're current models right now, and they're typically $700 and up. Okay,
wow.
Whereas I bought Intel CX4 NIC cards, dual port, for about $250 on eBay. I've seen some single ports from some other vendors sometimes going for like $100.
Wow. So do you have like the whole solution, you know, what's your rough unit cost, you know, per port, right? If you had to break it down, the unit cost per port, HBA included, right? It's kind of funky math, but between the switch and the HBA, how much is it per unit per port, and then compare that to a new purchase?
Okay, so for me, I ended up with 6 of these Dell switches, okay, and I paid, let's just say, roughly about $350 per switch,
mm-hmm.
Okay? And then, what's that, $1,800? Sorry, not sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
$2,100.
Math. This is a podcast, not a math show here.
$2,100.
Yeah.
Okay, for 6 switches. And then on the NIC card, I averaged about $250 per NIC card. I don't quite have 12 yet. I think I only have 6.
Mm-hmm.
So I bought 250 times 6. Again, that's $1,500. If my math is correct there.
Okay.
So $1,500, $2,100. Actually, we should calculate that fully populated, right?
Right. Plus another $2,100.
So $2,100 plus $3,000,
yeah,
would be, you know, if you got 12 NIC cards, 6 switches, so $5,100.
Got it.
Divide that by 12.
$6,100.
Okay. Divide that by 12.
$508 per port.
Yeah.
And you'd still get a bunch of Cat 5 ones up front. So, you know, comparatively, what did you see on the Switch cost per port cost? Well, I guess the HBA prices are the same, but I don't even think it comes close. Am I right?
No, the HBA prices are actually more.
That's crazy.
So if you go with something that's current right now, you're looking $700 and up per NIC card. And then, let's just say like a Dell 8024, I believe starts at about $6,000-$7,000 and up for, and that's a 24-port switch.
Gotcha. So, this, guys, for a lab, right? Now, Femi, would you use this in production?
Rick, you know, I think I would.
Really? Well, I mean, the switches, are they out of warranty, right? So that's the big kind of executive decision. If it's something that you can't, you know, support by warranty, you know, that might be a decision. If you can add it in, yeah, great. But I just don't want people to, you know, come up with this cookbook idea and then get themselves in trouble, I guess. But, you know, if you can support it internally, then you're comfortable with it. And, you know, if you don't have a lot of 10 gig, you know, consumers, it might be something to try. But, yeah, I'm doing the math here. And, you know, specifically for a lab, this price can't be beat.
Well, Rick, going back to your question about, you know, on the production side,
mm-hmm.
I mean, and this might be a little crazy now, but how about I just buy a couple more spares, and then if they break, I just swap them.
Right. Yeah, that's an option, too. You have an on-shelf spare, you know, your own inventory to match.
Right.
You know, and, you know, it's presumably known working, so that's an option. You know, if it doesn't fix itself, then you can migrate it to another network. But, my, you know, for the lab, I'm all over this, Femi, because labs need infrastructure. You know, too many times they just get hand-me-down equipment. But,
right.
You know, to use these VAC ports for 10 gig, that's awesome. Now, what do you put on there? Do you put only storage products, you know, Hyper-V ESXi host? What kind of stuff do you connect on there?
So right now I'm connecting just storage, but I'm getting ready to connect my my main desktop, my main workstation also.
You're going to put your workstation on 10 gig Ethernet?
Hey, come on, Rick. I got to have me some speed, man.
Femi.
You know?
Oh, man. I want to work with you, man.
Come on, Rick. We need some speed, man.
Hey, so, you know, you never know. I like it. It's a great idea.
So here's what I did for the workstation. Because obviously the workstation was about, and our European friends would love this, it's about 30 meters away from the main rack. So I had to buy some CX4 optical cables because the copper cables only go 15 meters. That's the maximum you can run on copper CX4.
But will it automatically step down to 1 gig or will it just not work?
I know, you can't even get a cable that is longer than 15 meters in CX4.
Gotcha. Okay.
So you have to go. You have to go active optical is what they call it, above 15 meters, and then you can go up to about 100 meters. So I bought two of those cables, 30 meters each, and I'm going to have two CX4 ports, so two 10 gig ports on my workstation. You know.
Because one isn't good enough. Got it.
No, well, you might as well double the speed while we're at it, right?
Yeah. Well, that's a cool setup. Yeah, I mean, I just love the idea of doing that for, you know, specifically in my realm, it's Hyper-V and ESXi hosts and storage products. So, and I'll be honest with you, Femi, when you told me this story, I thought it's great, you know, for a lab. I'll admit also that I'm a little bit technology untouched in regards to 10 gig Ethernet. So
right.
It's a new realm for me, and you know, I maintain a lab which functions like, you know, some level of production. So I think I may, you know, see if I can rig up something like this. And you know, who's to say that there aren't other networking switches, right, that have these interfaces on the back that
you
might be able to do this type of stuff with. Worst case, even just one. It might even work that way. You know, one switch and then, you know, get two or four things latched onto it, and you know, if you don't need multiple paths, right, multiple interfaces, then you might have a solution there as well.
Correct.
So
and the beauty about it, Rick, is that you can start, like you said, with one or two switches because they're stackable,
right,
you know, and just wait for the next time you find some fantastic deal on eBay and then buy another one. Add it in. Stack it and keep going.
Do you, you kind of think 12 ports was kind of your goal? Was that what you said?
Well, Rick, that's where the money ran out. How's that?
Yeah, usually there's not enough money, especially for a lab, right? I mean, I know you're concepting up some stuff, and you know, if the money runs out, then that's where it's out.
But yes, but that was my goal, was 6 switches, to have at least 12 ports of 10 gig.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where I'm at. But like I said, since I can stack up to 12 switches, I can always add more. Although the problem now starts to become, you know, now you need some more rack space, right? To, you know,
yeah.
Got to find some rack space for those guys.
Well, my problem then, and you got the same problem, is then cooling and then power, then racks.
Yep.
But, you know, it's one after another.
No.
Virtualization helps us, but those problems really aren't all the way gone.
So there's always something.
Yeah, there's a, and this is before we get to the speeds and feeds, right? You know, network, storage, processor, memory. There's always these issues that can come up and get in the way. Now, have you got into the realm of purchasing any servers that have onboard 10 gig?
No, I have not. And you're starting to see a lot of those creep up now. Starting to hit the market. But I think, if I'm not mistaken, at least like the few that I looked at from Supermicro, I believe, they use RJ45
mm-hmm.
connectors. So again, which means you probably have to use more of a current switch.
Gotcha. So this particular, was it CX4, was it? That interface is, you know, now they're using I don't know, I'd have to check the connectivity and the interfaces, and there's also the CNAs, which I'm not familiar with those either, but you know, make sure, I guess, you know, to the listeners, when you spec out, you know, a network that you're going to go for 10 gig, you know, everything needs to be the same type of interface, right? So read the details, read the specs of the interfaces.
Yep.
To make sure that they all match up. And Femi, you know, a little bit of background on you. You do a great job of, you know, finding ways around issues. And I got to bring up a story you told me that I think is amazing. When, what was it, 1995? You were in, or in 1998, you were installing DVD players in cars or something like that? Is that when it was?
That was in the early 90s when I was in car audio. And
gotcha.
DVD players had just started to hit computers back then.
Right.
And so we bought a couple of these DVD players from Sound Blaster. I remember Sound Blaster.
Yeah, yeah.
And because you know, we always had their sound cards. So bought those DVD players, and we figured, hey, we're gonna try to put them in cars, because we wanted to do video. We wanted to do some in car video, and we had these touchscreen controls. Got some guy writing some custom drivers, and So that really, for me, was kind of how I learned to, I guess, for lack of a better term, think outside the box. Okay, because in car audio, there wasn't anything that was plug and play. Everything was all custom, or as our folks over the pond will call it, all bespoke. You know, so that whole process really, you know, helps me today, because when I'm trying to think of things like this 10 gig, I'm trying to think, okay, there's got to be a way for a guy like me to be able to have that speed, you know, without spending the big dollars.
Tell me that trick on the distance limitation that you found out when you're installing the DVD players.
So obviously, you know, Rick, so with back then it was a lot of IDE, right? And we always used to wonder, well, these cables are short. You know what? We'll put them in the car, and we'll put the computer in the trunk, okay, and put the put the DVD player, because the DVD player becomes your head unit, right? So you put that in the dash.
Right.
And it's pretty easy to go buy a ribbon cable and make your own ID cable. You know, buy the 3M connectors, 3M flat wire, boom.
Yep.
Well, try that, didn't work. So found out real quick why, you know, there's a distance limitation. And, you know, of course, back then, you know, there's no book to read, so we're just trying to, you know, you're just putting all this stuff together and thinking, hey, it should work.
Right.
So we ended up moving the computer from the trunk into the car and then doing, like, SCSI, doing, like, some type of SCSI conversion. And that allowed us to go, I think, right about 3 feet,
right,
maybe a little over, and then, we're, you know, things were stable and we were able to get it to work.
Gotcha.
But those were fun times, man. Those were fun times.
Keep the computer in the car. Got it.
Yeah. I still have one of these days. I'll post some pictures on the blog. I still have a whole bunch of those pictures, you know, doing all that kind of stuff.
Speaking of pictures, Femi, you were nice enough to send me some pictures of this lab infrastructure that you've rigged up. I'll see if I can drop a picture or two into the podcast page so that people can kind of just get their eyes on the equipment. And I really appreciate you, Femi, taking the time to share this little trick that people might want to think about in their lab, you know, to bring 10 gig into a space where, you know, it might not have been an option before.
No, absolutely, Rick. I mean, that's what it's all about, right? Sharing information, you know. I talk to you, I talk to people across the world, and that's how we help each other. So I'm you know, whatever I can do to help, you know, because I mean, Lord knows I've you know, a lot of people have helped me.
Right on, right
including,
on.
Including you, so oh, it's all good.
Right on, definitely. And everyone, you can catch Femi on Twitter at Audio, AWEDIO, and that's a play back to his audio days. And always taking things apart, finding ways. He's one of the best at that. Femi, thanks again for being on.
All right, Rich, thank you.